All right, if you have your Bibles, quickly, let's go back to where we have been, the book of Matthew, chapter 6. I'm going to continue just from where we were last time, because we began to speak about the matter of the will of God in prayer. And we're going to read from verse 8. It was talking about how we should pray and not be like Gentiles and all of that. So it gave us our own pattern to pray. It said, therefore, do not be like them, that is, those who use meaningless repetition. Please notice the word meaningless. He said, that's what the Gentiles do. That's verse 7. For they suppose they will be heard for their many words. And we must be careful as believers not to participate in that. God doesn't hear us just because we say something repeatedly. All right? There must be meaning to everything that we say. That's what he was saying. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded or written in heaven or predetermined in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, so let's just read that verse 10 again. It said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. All right, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that's what we began to read last time. Before I begin to speak about that, quickly go down to verse chapter 7. I want to read from verse 7. He said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. That is the door. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. One more scripture before I continue where we were studying. The book of Jeremiah. Anyway, we're going to read from Jeremiah anyway through the eyes of Daniel. Chapter 9. It said, from verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Hyaseros, of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God, to seek him by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, and all of that, and all of that. All right, so he began to pray. My emphasis, please, is what he said in verse 2, that he observed in the books the number of the years which was recorded in heaven, predetermined in heaven, and was revealed as the will of God concerning Jerusalem, all right, to Jeremiah. And he said the number of the years is 70. Now, 70 years had come, all right, and was accomplished, and yet salvation had not come for Jerusalem. So Daniel, I believe the Holy Spirit prompted him to note it, and then he began to pray about the deliverance of Jerusalem, using the will of God. Now, that's what I'm trying to bring out from there. We said, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded, predetermined in heaven. We often pray it like this. I've tried to correct it all the time. We've referred to it. We'll pray it oftentimes as, thy will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. No. He said, thy will be done on earth. What he was saying is that as it is recorded or predetermined in heaven. And we see the example from Daniel here, that this is exactly the pattern that Jesus was telling us to use to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is recorded. Daniel went, discovered the will of God that was recorded or predetermined in heaven, and that was revealed to Jeremiah. Please notice that. That will was revealed to Jeremiah. Before Daniel came on the scene, the will of God had been revealed to this earth through the prophecies of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah recorded them, and Daniel discovered the will of God. And the foundation for his prayer for deliverance for Jerusalem was not desire. That's what I began to say last time. It was not desire. The foundation for his prayer was not his own wishes. The foundation for the prayer was not just a human thinking, all right? But it was the revelation that was given to Jeremiah as the will of God. I began to say last time, and I want to continue from there, talking about this will of God in prayer, that God has a will, all right? But I want to emphasize something, that when we are talking about the will of God being done, it's not just a, all right, there are different levels, okay? There may be a time in which you leave it blank. You know, the other day I wanted to get a letter from my wife from a place, and the person said they write it to whom it may concern. I said, I don't take to whom it may concern letters. Are you getting my point? I want this letter addressed to the Dean of Postgraduate Studies, University of Nigeria, Nsukka. That's the person that should read it. All right? It's coming from Director of Studies of this school. And the secretary argued with me. I said, listen, I'm not living here with a letter to whom it may concern. Are you getting my point? Yes. And in case you want to know, just by the way, proper letters don't go to whom it may concern. It's not really very good. All right, you know where your letter is needed. Tell the person to address it to that place. Okay? That's the way it's supposed to be. And just by the way, if you come to my office and drop a letter to whom it may concern, I'm not likely to give you much attention. Because whoever is writing it doesn't know me, doesn't care about my opinion of you. You're writing to whom it may concern. It doesn't concern me, so go away. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, the point I'm making is this. So, the will of God, we don't leave it. The Lord has not left it, all right? Most of the times, it's the matter of to whom it may concern. That is, just leave it blank. And that's what I want to emphasize on today again. That when Jesus said, thy will be done on earth, he wasn't teaching us to just leave the letter to whom it may concern, blank, not having a purpose, not having a direction, with not even knowing what to expect. Because as you go on, you will see that expectation is very important in prayer. Are you getting my point? It's very important. I said to you before that the imaginations of the heart of a man is more powerful than his willpower, all right? Something led me to discover that, all right? And that the Bible talks about the expectation of the righteous is what would not be cut off. Please bear that in mind. And expectation is not desire. Expectation is very different from desire. You know, on Saturday, I was talking about the fact that God wants us to prosper. And I emphasized the fact that though we know it, I need to have us convinced about it, all right? And Paul wrote to Timothy, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, all right? Just before verse 16, all right? He said that the things you have learned and have become convinced of, all right? Very important. That thing is very important, all right? Let's just read it together. Let me just be sure of it. Okay, verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. That's chapter 14 of verse 3. The second letter of Paul to Timothy. The things you have learned and have become convinced of. Very important. He said, knowing from whom you have learned them and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings or the holy scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What I want to understand from here is this. Scriptures, the word of God, which he had learned from childhood, okay, helped him to listen to Paul, all right? And Paul taught him the word of God through those scriptures. And that convinced him about certain things. And it is what he was convinced of, all right, that becomes the expectation in it, that became the expectation in his heart. It's what you are convinced of that will become the expectation in your heart. That's why on Saturday I emphasized the fact that we needed to be convinced of the fact that indeed God wants us to prosper. The reason is because if we are not convinced of it, we'll be praying about it. Are you getting my point? We'll be whining about it in what we call prayer. We'll be declaring like everybody else. But as a man actually is thinking in his heart, that's what actually is being heard in the realm of the spirit. Like I said, that Rick Jonah explained that thoughts are audible, spiritually speaking. What you are really thinking is what rises up before the throne of God. It's not just the words that you are saying, all right? And a double-minded man is a man who thinks one thing and says another. Please, bear what I'm saying in mind. So the will of God is recorded in the scriptures. And the foundation for prayer, all right, I was talking something about expectation, is what you are convinced of as the will of God that actually produces an expectation in your heart. And sometimes, let me just say this. And this becomes a problem a lot of times for us as Christians. You are expecting something and you are not saying it. Now, please, I want to explain something about that. And let me say this, it is a good thing. Now, the not seeing it is not the good side, but that you have that expectation is a good side. I've been saying this again and again. We must never let experiences, we must never let the testimonies of other people create expectations for us that are inferior to that which the Word of God wants us to have. Do you get the point I'm making? It is important. When Jesus was saying that pray like this, thy will be done on earth, what he was saying is that God has said things specifically. It's not just about to whom it may concern. Do you get my point? No. He said something specific. It's not just leave it open. All right? He's saying that if your faith concerning healing, this is my will. Concerning prosperity, this is my will. Concerning your long life, that is the matter of length of your days, this is my will. Concerning your destiny, this is my will. Are you getting my point? It's not just God. You see, my life is in your hands. Oh, anything you like, just do. That's what I call the to whom it may concern phenomenon. Are you getting my point? No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that when you read the revealed word of God, which Paul said to Timothy, having learned it, because that's the problem with Christians. We don't learn the word of God. We move by, oh God, this is the painful part. You know, we move by emotions. We move by trend. You know what I call trend, all right? Trend. There's a trend. It's not my portion in Christianity now. That's a Christianity in Nigeria. Even those who are not believers, they say it. You know, they just everything that they don't like is not my portion. It's the trend. So we move by trend. We don't move by the knowledge of what we have as revealed, okay, from the Word of God. We move by trend. So there was a time that everybody believed that Christianity is, this world is not my home, and we are just passing through. Are you getting my point? That was a trend. So everybody tore their fine clothes, all right? They wiped their faces clean of anything that looks like adornment. That was the trend. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that. Now the trend, okay, has shifted. The trend is that a pastor should prosper, and every member of his church should prosper. Do you get my point? Now, you know, I told you once, I heard about a man who was a pastor of a church, and the landlord of the house he was living in used to marvel at the weight of clothes this young man used to wear, and he couldn't pay rent comfortably. His car was always shining, even if the engine was rotten. Why? Because the trend, all right, is that in Christianity these days, you have to look prosperous. So he moved by the trend. And listen to me, when you go praying according to the trend of that day, you are not praying according to the will of God. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You understand? There was a time that Christians withdrew from school. It's not right to go to school. What are you doing with worldly degrees? Now, Winners Chapel will not employ you as a pastor if you don't have a first degree. You must come, you can only either have an HND or a BS. So people oftentimes pray according to what? Trend. But that is not the will of God. What is the will of God? God has recorded. I'm going to say something. Christians use those things instead of having a discipline. Like Paul said to Timothy, you learn these things from childhood. Do you get my point? You've known the Holy Scriptures, and they have given you the wisdom that produces salvation. What is wisdom? Wisdom is just having the knowledge of God and applying it appropriately. That is, we look at Daniel. The Scriptures taught Daniel that this is divine timing. Do you get my point? This is divine timing for deliverance, 70 years. So having been convinced of that from the Scriptures, he now settled down and began to pray. And that's why I read the other Scriptures. It said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. And knock. Now, I don't know whether that is amplified or somebody explained it. That what the tense, all right, in what Jesus was saying in English, like in Greek, is not just ask. It's more like be persistent. Don't change your mind. Are you getting my point? All right? If you knock, don't depart from knocking until the door is open, because indeed the door will be open. I know there's something I said to you before when we were talking about this matter of prayer other times. I said that people say that Thomas Edison tested the electric bulb, the incandescent bulb, like maybe 10,000 or 3,000 times. I don't know how many number of times exactly, but we know it's definitely thousands of times before it worked. And people asked him, how come you were able to test this thing maybe 10,000 times before it finally worked? And he said that I only discovered 9,900 ways by which it will not work. All right? So people say that, all right, whatever I want to do in life, just be persistent. Just be persistent. Just be persistent. Just be persistent. And I say, don't interpret that. Don't interpret it like that. I know of a man, I gave you the name before, Bernard Trevison, who tried to change base metals to gold, and he was persistent. He died at the age of 76. He started when he was in his 20s. And at the end of the day, he said, I have discovered that to make gold, you must start with gold. It's not persistence. It's not persistence. I'm going to have an issue here. Thomas Edison, why was he persistent? That's what I'm trying to bring up. It was because he was convinced of the fact that it's supposed to work. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why I say it's a good thing. If you see that this is what life is supposed to be according to the word of God, but I'm not experiencing it. I know it can appear discouraging, but it's a good thing. When I say it's a good thing is that you have an expectation. Thomas Edison had an expectation. Do you get my point? And he did not depart until he found out how it was supposed to work, because he knew it was supposed to work. So every time he tries and it doesn't work, he goes, now let's apply to prayer. He prays again and says, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. That is, this incarnated bulb must work because it has been predetermined that it should work. And I'm going to tell you something as I'm going on today about how God answers such prayers. Because one of the things that God gives you is what Paul called the wisdom for salvation in that scripture we read. God gives you illumination. It gives you insight of what is missing, what is necessary to do, what is necessary to bring into the equation as correction, all right? So that the thing will end up working. But we start from one point. We have discovered from the Holy Scriptures that it is supposed to work. That's what I'm going to explain. So when we're talking about praying the will of God, it's not just a nebulous way of praying. We don't know what's supposed to happen yet. Now, I'll get down to that later. There are times you just leave things because you don't know. And that's why James said, if any man lack wisdom, that's the point. I'm not getting to that now. I want to emphasize that issue when Jesus said, thy will be done. He was not saying we should go around repeating, thy will be done, thy will be done. That's not my understanding. My understanding is that it's giving us a general picture of prayer. So he said that there is a will of God concerning divine healing. Are you getting my point? There is a will of God concerning prosperity. There is a will of God concerning everything. And when you discover the will of God, that's why I use that as an example. That is used to pray until there's a manifestation. As I said, knock and keep on knocking. Are you getting my point? Because the door will be open. How do we know? That's why I told the story of Thomas Edison. How do we know the door will be open? Because from the Holy Scriptures, we have discovered what the will of God is. Are you getting my point? Daniel knew that deliverance time had come. The will of God is deliverance. So why are we not delivered? Are you getting my point? It is not a matter of, you know, people. The human interpretation of it is that if God, you know, people say things. There's no God. You know, like the story I told last time. And the man asked the barber. The barber asked the man. No, the barber asked. No, the man asked the barber, why do you say there's no God? And the barber said, look at all the suffering people. Look at children who are suffering. Look at people who are dying of diseases. Look at all the accidents. Look at the bad government. It shows there's no God. And the man left the shop. And he rushed back in after a while and told the barber, I just discovered there's no barber. There are no barbers on this earth. And the barber was shocked. What do you mean? I found out no barber exists, though. There are no barbers. And the barber was like, what's wrong with you? Come on. I just cut your hair. This is me right here. He said, no, you cannot exist. It's not possible. Why? Because outside, I just saw men with bushy hair. They're all over the place. Their hair, all right? Their hairs are not cut. Their beards are not shaved. They are looking unkempt. They are thoroughly disheveled. What does that mean? There's no barber. And the man said, come on, don't be ridiculous. If they will come to me, I will have cut their hair. He said, good. If you will go to God, he will solve your problems. The fact that you have problems, that's where I'm going, all right? When we look at things, and they are not the way they are supposed to be, that's where I'm going to. Because the word of God creates expectation. It does. It does. In fact, as I'm preaching now, I'm getting answers to some of the questions in my own mind too. All right? The word of God creates expectations. It creates expectations. I remember a book I read once. A man was talking about divine healing. And he explained at a point in time that there are times that God just refused to heal and leave the sickness there. And, well, this is, I don't argue any, you don't know what they're saying. No, you wait for what the man has to say. I know the explanation he gave. I wanted to stretch my hand to the book, drag him out, and pick up a fight with him. I said, I don't know him, just a book. He said, because, you see, he used to have this problem with his ears. And the ear used to ring. He had tinnitus. And he had prayed about it for years. And the thing didn't go away. So he has decided that these are the kind of prayers that God says, I won't answer, I just leave the thing there. And he's now teaching that to me. Listen, if that's your problem, please let it be your problem. I don't know whether I get my point. Don't try to persuade me. Because I didn't get my answer in day one, in day two, day three. You are not telling me to just accept that once it doesn't come within 1 year, there is one of, is that your category that you created by yourself? Listen. I like the way Nkechi Enene said it. Faith may not know when, but he expects a miracle every day. I like, look, I've not had a better explanation than that Nkechi Enene's explanation. I heard that on TV once. That faith has an expectation every day. It may not know when. Your ear has not been healed after 10 years. How long did it take Abraham to get Isaac? What are you telling me? Like I said, don't lower divine standard because of your personal experiences. Are you getting my point? And so, you see, the word of God creates expectation. So what do? We knock. That's what I'm saying. When we say, thy will be done, stating that in prayer, stating it with conviction, born out of the word of God has entered, like Paul said to Timothy. Are you getting my point? We continue to state that, and if you don't have a manifestation, I like the way to use Kenneth Hagin here. Is any time he prays and my son doesn't come, he starts asking, where is the connection problem? That it can't be with God. It has to be with me. Now let me just say this. I don't know whether Kenneth Hagin said like this. Sometimes it takes you a year to discover what the problem is. It might take you longer. It might be instantaneous. Are you getting my point? But when you discover that connection problem, then the manifestation will flow. But because you haven't discovered it, does not allow, God doesn't allow that. You doesn't allow you to now make a new law and says, thy will may not be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Are you getting my point? I like the way Larry Lee, I listened to Larry Lee many years ago, and he gave the explanation for that word, thy will be done on earth. He said, thy will be done is not, now that's the way he explained it, and I think there's an application appropriate, all right, using that as a perspective. He said, it wasn't saying, will of God, please be done. No. You get my point? He said, no, it was like knocking, and I'm adding that one now, that it's the inflection is, will of God be done. Are you getting my point? Like in the beginning, God said, let there be light. It was not a request. It was an instruction. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was not a request. It was more like light be. Are you getting my point? And light was. So Larry Lee said that what he was saying is, will of God be done. Will of God be done. I was saying something earlier. When we discover, because sometimes when my wife and I are talking, you know, there are things we see, we read, we study in the scriptures. The question now is, why are we not experiencing these things now? Why have we not seen these things? The answer many people in the church of God gave it is this. The age of miracles have passed. All right? Are you getting my point? He said that age is gone. All right? Meanwhile, that's not what they are saying. Jesus said we should say, if we discover from the word of God that these signs shall follow them that believe. Do you get what I'm saying? We discover the signs. That is the will that is recorded in heaven. I may not be experiencing it now. Once I don't experience it now, it becomes what? A matter of prayer. I get stuck on that line. This matter of these signs shall follow them that believe is the will of God. Therefore, be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Sometimes, what happens is that, like Daniel, it's not as if you just say, now,
Signs and wonders.
Begin. Yeah, we start saying like that. The Holy Spirit says, shh, relax. Read Daniel again. You go to that Daniel place and discover that Daniel began to confess what? The sins of the people. Because why didn't you start from there? Then you begin. I'm not saying that's what you follow. I'm giving an illustration. All right, the Holy Spirit working on you now. All right, he said, okay, begin to confess the sin of the church. You begin to confess. Begin to make this kind of prayers, all right, on behalf of the body of Christ. Then you start making those prayers. And then suddenly you are reading scriptures. You now see that somewhere God says that it's not as if my hand is too short, I cannot deliver. Actually, I can deliver. It's not like my hand is too short. Say, my ear is not deaf. I actually can answer prayers. Say, no, so why have I not been hearing? Because we've read that the will of God is that before we cry, you will answer. So why have we not been experiencing it? God will say, these are the reasons. You have separated yourself from me in this particular area. Then, back to Daniel's principle, we begin to confess those things out of our personal lives and out of our communal lives. Are you getting my point? And then we begin to make intercessory prayers based on those things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, because, take as an example now, you know. Let me just leave an example. I'm talking about some things that we all know. It's not appropriate, all right? Okay, let me just say it, okay? You read through scriptures. You see, God is always angry, all right, when people prophesy for money. Yes, God doesn't like it. He said, I did not send them, but they went. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. When people, you know, carry titles, some of those things totally obstruct the flow of the power of God, all right, in the body of Christ. And you see, there's always a sequence to divine arrangements. What I mean is this. You know, I told you before, people sometimes will go and tell you that if you want to know the principles of church growth, you go to South Korea and learn how to build 1 million man churches. Is it good to learn? Fine, learn it, but you can practice some of those principles for decades and your church will grow, but 1 million, forget. In fact, God says, if I give you 1,000, be happy. Do you follow my point? And I say, ah, Pastor, what are you saying? I say, wait, go and see the sequence. Before Yonggi Cho came on the scene, there were men who watered the ground. They tilled that ground, all right? They plowed it, harrowed it, removed all the rocks, removed all the stones, removed all the bricks and all the sticks, removed everything. And then they began to plant. And another set came and they watered. Yonggi Cho has only come to reap the harvest. Are you getting my point? So he said, do you want to see those kind of congregations in Nigeria? And you say, yeah. He said, well, unfortunately, my guy is not going to start with you. I will give you a job. Now, we have reached this particular level. You enter into this particular level. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the sequence. So, the level now is of watering. So, what is watering? Paul planted, Apollos watered. Apollos was the teacher. So, okay, fine. So, begin to teach. All right? Begin to explain. Begin to explain. Begin to explain. And you will explain and explain and explain for the next 15 years. You are getting what I'm going to explain. And then your prayer is that, oh boy, pray. Pray that this explanation will go far. You pray and you see what I'm saying? Where did this start from? These signs shall follow them that believe. See where the Holy Spirit has taken you to? Because you are praying, thy will be done concerning these signs shall follow them that believe. You are getting divine sequence here. So you see, they tell you that the healing move came out in America. People think that it's just that one. I mean, if you go and read Kenneth Hagin, he'll tell you that when they were praying for that thing, okay, there are times he would get up to pray. He wouldn't even know when he got up. He would just wake up in the morning and find that he's kneeling down in the living room. He was in the bedroom when he went to sleep. But in his sleep, he got up, came out, knelt down to where in the place where we normally would pray without disturbing the rest of his family. And he prayed and fell asleep. And he woke up. Angela, when did I get here? And that cry was in their hearts for a long time. Then one day the thing broke. I was telling the story earlier about, not today now, in previous times, about John G. Lake, about how the cry of his heart was or something like that also. Why is it not being done? So, I mean, people use different technologies, and they used to pray, he and his friends, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what they used to call it, all right? But if you look at it, it was beyond just baptism. It was beyond just say I'm filled. They were crying for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And for years they were on it. Do you get my point? And you see in his life, there are times God will take him through consecrating himself in certain areas. God will take him through certain depths of consecration. And he kept on going like that. What am I saying? In doing all of this, he's finding out why the connection was broken. And it started from, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Please get that point. It started from there. So people are seeking. That's why I said, if you are looking forward to something and you are not experiencing it, at least it means you are alive.